We present Arnold Bennett's Imperial Palace with Robin Ellis as Evelyn Orcombe.
Bonjour, chérie.
Oh, but you're dressed. I wanted to lie here and watch you dressing. Why didn't you wake me?
You look too lovely asleep. It's beautiful out. Cold, but sunny.
You've been out already?
Just to buy the Continental Daily Mail. Must keep an eye on the world, you know. Here.
Oh, I don't want it. The world can get on without us for a while. Oh, come back to bed.
I mustn't. The manager of the Hotel Montaigne will think something's happened to me.
And has something happened to you?
Yes. I've discovered that I'm in love.
Have you only just found out? I've been in love from the moment I saw you, so you can't possibly go back to that beastly hotel.
I must. And this evening I have to return to London to look after my own beastly hotel.
You can't leave me all alone in Paris.
I've got a job to do, my darling. Duty comes before love.
Well, off you go then. But at least let's meet for lunch, and then we can spend the afternoon together. You must see some more of Paris. Where do you want to go?
How about the Louvre?
Oh, much too hackneyed. We'll go shopping. Now, you can run a bath for me. Then while you go to work, I can go back to Saint-Cloud.
What for?
To see Tessa, of course. I've neglected her dreadfully. Duty before love, remember?
Tea for two, sir, and two butter tea cakes.
Thank you, miss.
Thank you very much. Shall I be mother?
I beg your pardon?
I'm sorry, it's an English expression. Shall I pour out?
Yes, please. I hope you enjoyed the cinema.
Oh, it was lovely. Especially when he asked her to marry him. I cried buckets.
Oh, I do not understand. It was not sad. They were both happy.
I know. I never cry at the sad bits. It's the happy endings that set me off.
I like happy endings. Oh, this has been such a happy afternoon for me. I wish now to ask you something.
Yes, what is it?
Dear Violet, will you please marry me?
Oh, Gino, I'd no idea. I never dreamed of...
Oh, but you must know how I feel about you.
I know you've been very lonely, and sometimes I'm lonely too.
But now we have found one another, we shall never be lonely again.
Gino, I like you very much, and I hope we'll always be friends. But I don't love you.
So,
Gino, be careful. Mind the milk jug.
Damn the milk jug. And damn the teapot. And damn the tea cake.
Well, how do you like it?
This place? Amazing. The finest department store I ever saw. We've nothing in London to touch it.
I meant, how do you like my dress?
Oh, very nice. If that's the one you want, that's the one you shall have.
But I want to know what you think. After all, you're paying for it.
Well, if you want to know my honest opinion, I think it's a little, flamboyant.
That's how I am when I'm with you. Shameless and flamboyant. No, you're right. I'm sorry, mademoiselle. Can I try the black silk?
Oui, madame. I will fetch it for you. Perhaps monsieur would care to accompany you into the fitting room.
I suppose she thinks we're married.
She doesn't care whether we are or not. Look, in the mirror, aren't we a handsome couple? Fresh air at last. I'll take a deep breath. But I shouldn't have let you spoil me.
Is that what I did?
I never expected two dresses.
The black silk in public, a shameless one when we're alone together.
When will that be, I wonder?
Well, we have the whole evening to ourselves. My train doesn't leave till 11, so we... What is it?
The cab that stopped along the boulevard. It looks like... It can't be.
Your father?
He's seen us. Hello! What a surprise!
Gracie, my dear! Orcombe? Good Lord.
We met on the train last night and he helped with my luggage. So today I made him take the afternoon off and dragged him out to do some shopping.
Oh, poor devil. Of course, you're at the Montaigne. Let's all have dinner.
I'm afraid I'm going back to London tonight.
Ah, pity. Well, Gracie, you'll have supper with me, I hope.
Ah, alas. I promised to some boring people in Saint-Cloud. Tomorrow, perhaps. I'll ring you.
Oh, well, enjoy your shopping.
I think that was fairly convincing, don't you?
Very.
Why are you looking like that? What's wrong?
I'm lost in admiration. You lie so fluently.
Well, I had to say something. It all happened so suddenly.
Suddenly it all seems a little cheap, doesn't it?
No. That's the difference between us. You're afraid of the consequences and I'm not. That's why you're running away to London, to escape.
You're talking nonsense. I have to go back.
To do your duty. Go on then, go now. If you hurry, you might catch the early train.
Thank you. I will.
Miss Cass, when do you expect Mr. Orcombe to return?
I couldn't say, Mr. Perosi. He said he'd let me know. Is something wrong?
I'm afraid so. It's Mr. Cherry. He should have been on duty in the grill room 2 hours ago, but he is nowhere to be found.
He often goes home in the afternoon.
I telephoned his house. There was no reply.
Oh, dear. Whatever can have happened?
Oui, j'écoute. Je viens. Evelyn.
I was on the train when I realized I couldn't leave you. I had to come back.
Oh, my darling.
To hell with the Imperial Palace. I'm staying here. Will you marry me?
Of course. When? Now? Tonight?
Certainly not. Getting married is a serious matter, and I'm much too happy to be serious.
Have you telephoned the Imperial Palace?
That can wait. We're going out to have dinner, drink, dance, enjoy ourselves. I'll ring them tomorrow.
No, do it now, and then we can forget about it. I'll get the number for you. Well, what did they say?
Not much. Come on. If we're going out, you must get dressed.
Something's gone wrong, hasn't it?
No, nothing to speak of.
I heard you say you'd ring again in the morning to see if there's any news.
Well, yes, but it's nothing important. The grill room manager seems to have vanished, but they can manage without him. And our head housekeeper, Violet Powler, is ill. But we're not going to let that spoil our evening, are we?
You want to go back. You know you do.
Anyone would think you wanted me to go.
Yes, I do.
Why?
If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't dream of staying. And that would be my fault. It would spoil everything. You can still catch the Golden Arrow. I'll come and see you off. You've even got a corner seat. Oh, I bought these while you were getting your ticket. Newspapers, magazines. You've got to keep an eye on the world, remember?
I don't feel like reading.
If you read, it will stop you worrying about the hotel.
By the time I get there, it will probably have sorted itself out. Don't be surprised if I come back here tomorrow. Kiss me.
Funny the way things turn out. This morning you said you must leave Paris today. And here you are, leaving Paris.
I'd better get aboard. Au revoir.
To you.
But I thought you were going to telephone again this morning.
I changed my mind. Any news of Mr. Churia?
I'm afraid not. He's still missing.
I was hoping he might have turned up. And Miss Powler. I hope she's better.
Well, I suppose she must be. According to Mr. Plimsing, she got up this morning and went out.
Plimsing? What the devil has Miss Powler got to do with a hotel detective?
Well, sir, he seems to think that...
Excuse the liberty, Mr. Orcombe, but I've just been informed of your return and I felt I should see you right away.
Well, what is it?
Mr. Perosi thought it better not to call in Scotland Yard at this stage.
He was quite right.
So, on my own initiative, I called at Mr. Churia's house last night. There was no one there, and upon inquiring among the neighbours, I learned that the family had left for Italy very suddenly, which struck me as sinister.
Oh, surely not. Mr. Chabir...
This hotel has an international clientele, and according to reports in the press, there's a lot of undercover activity going on, Italian anarchists and the like.
Are you suggesting that Churia is mixed up in some sort of revolutionary plot?
I'm sure he'd never dream of
such things have been known. And then there's Miss Powler.
Miss Powler?
Well, I'm told that Churia has been having secret assignations with her. But when I went to question her, I discovered that the lady, who's supposed to be ill in bed, had just slipped out. Took a taxi, she did.
Yes, so I heard. Nobody knows where she went.
Well, wherever she went, she's come back. Because on my way to see you, sir, I was given this letter. Written by the lady herself. And addressed to you, Mr. Orcombe, marked private.
Let me see that.
Dear sir, I should like to see you about something important. Might I ask you to come up when convenient to yourself? With many apologies, yours obediently, V. Powler.
I'm sorry to find you ill.
Oh, I'm not really ill. But I've been getting these headaches. The doctor says I need rest.
But I hear you went out this morning.
Yes, well, I received a letter from Mr. Turia, and I had to go and see him at once. The thing is, he asked me to marry him.
Really? I had no idea that you...
No, sir, it came as a surprise to me, too. I think it all began when he had that idea about New Year's Eve in the grill room, and you turned it down. But it was Sir Henry who thought of it. He asked Gino to arrange everything.
Gino?
That's his first name. I felt sorry for him. His mother and his sisters are on holiday in Italy, and he was feeling lonely. Well, he invited me to go to the pictures, and then suddenly he asked me to marry him in a tea shop.
And you weren't expecting it?
No, not at all. I thought he just wanted someone to talk to. It did seem strange for a man to propose to someone he hardly knows.
No, I wouldn't say that. It can happen.
Anyway, I told him I was sorry, but I couldn't possibly. And that's when he had this sort of breakdown right there in the tea shop. I think that's what set off my headaches, really. And then this morning, I got his letter.
Asking you to go and see him?
At his house. So I just got dressed and went, without a word to anyone. I felt I was to blame, in a way.
But when Mr. Plimsing went there last night, the house was empty.
Yes, Gino had been walking about all night, trying to sort things out. And then this morning, he came to his senses and went home and sent me this letter. In a taxi. He feels a bit silly about it now. And he's ever so scared of you. But it wasn't his fault. He couldn't help himself. Anyhow, I persuaded him he ought to come back to work.
What?
I said I was sure you'd let bygones be bygones. That was right, wasn't it? Wasn't it?
Well, I'm sorry. I can't treat it as lightly as that. Think of the trouble he's caused. He absents himself from his post without any explanation, and I've had to come back from Paris. All because he was crossed in love.
He's very sorry. It will never happen again.
No, it won't, because I shan't give him the chance. Rules are rules, and...
Oh, no. Everybody deserves a second chance. There's an exception to every rule.
I'm not going to argue with you. You shouldn't have had to deal with the problem. And you're supposed to be resting. But I will think over what you said.
Thank you. I'm much obliged.
I'm just off, sir. It's nearly six. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realise you were working.
That's all right, Miss Cass. I was only writing a letter.
You should have said. I could have typed
it. No, it's nothing important. Just a letter to a friend. Do you have any stamps?
Yes, sir. Just one?
Well, no. It will need an extra stamp. It's going to Paris.
If I wait till you've finished, I can pop it in the box on my way out.
No, don't bother. I need to stretch my legs. I'll go out and post it myself.
May I come in?
Oh, Gino. I must have dozed off.
Oh, forgive me. I knocked, but you did not hear.
I'm so glad you came back. Who did you see?
No one. I walked in by the staff entrance. There was nobody about. You have spoken with Mr. Orcombe?
Yes, we had a good talk. He said he would think over what I told him.
I will go and tell him I am sorry.
No, don't do that. Just carry on as if you'd never been away. If anyone asks, say you weren't feeling well, but you're better now. And they'll welcome you back with open arms.
Morning, Miss Cass. Any letters for me?
Yes, they're on your desk. There's one from Paris marked personal.
Ah, thank you.
And Mr. Perosi would like to see you. He's on his way.
Right, thank you.
Dear Evelyn, you're going to hate me for a while, and then I think you'll understand, because you're very clever. Perhaps you do love me, but not in my way. And it's more important to me to be loved than to love, to be loved without any shred of doubt, any reservations. But I'd never have been content if we hadn't had our experiment, And it was worth it, wasn't it, while it lasted. After you'd gone, I saw Leo Cheddon again. He's asked me to marry him, and I've told him I will. He's so happy, it's quite touching. I'm not happy yet, of course, but I soon will be. He knows nothing about us, and he never will. Goodbye. G.S.
Is everything all right, Mr. Orcombe?
Perfectly all right. It's a letter crossed with one I wrote last night, that's all.
I'm sorry to disturb you, Mr. Orcombe.
Oh, not at all, Perosi. What's the problem?
I thought you should know the Raja has just arrived. We prepared the imperial suite, and he has gone up with his entourage.
His entourage?
Several ladies, veiled ladies, which creates a problem. Mr. and Mrs. Harbour are on the same floor.
Harbour? Do I know them?
No, sir. This is their first visit. John H. Harbour is the third richest millionaire in the United States.
And Mrs. Harbour?
She is the problem. Mrs. Harbour saw the Raja's party arriving, and she says she cannot stay in the same hotel as our harem. It would be against her principles. What do you suggest we should do?
Offer our sincere apologies. Since we now control two other London hotels, I suggest they move to the Majestic. Tell the manager to roll out the red carpet, fill their suite with flowers, and grovel.
Grovel?
It's something the Imperial Palace would never do, but you can tell the Majestic, with my compliments, to grovel. That should solve the problem.
Thank you, sir. May I also congratulate you on your handling of the grill room situation?
I'm sorry?
Your advice that Sharia should return to work as if nothing had happened. It settled the crisis very smoothly. An excellent solution.
Thank you. Now, if you have no other problems, perhaps...
Just one, sir. It also concerns the Raja. He is gravely displeased because there is no leader of Poe in his suite.
I beg your pardon?
A day bed. He has a bed to sleep in, but he also wants one to rest upon during the day. Our furniture workshop in Acton don't have such a thing. And when they were asked to make one, the staff threatened to strike. Have you any suggestions?
Certainly. Send Miss Paola to the furniture workshop and tell her to sort it out.
Excuse me, miss. Can I help you?
Yes, my name is Paola. I've come about this daybed for the Raja. Who's in charge here?
Well, Mr. Colliphant's the foreman, but he's a very busy man and not in the best of tempers. Well, I mean to say, they can't expect us to build a blooming daybed, whatever that is.
I'm not asking you to build one. I'm hoping to find something to... Ah, well, what's this?
Oh, you can't go poking around in there. You'll do yourself a mischief.
Just give me a hand, will you? If you move the chest of drawers, I can... Yes, I thought as much. Look here.
Well, that's no good. It must be donkey's years old.
Yes, it is. It's a Regency chaise longue and a very fine one in its day.
How do you know so much about furniture?
My father's a carpenter.
Oh.
It's a shame the armrest's broken.
Well, like I said, it's no good in that state.
Oh, you've only got to take off the broken arm and reupholster it in a nice material. Oh, green and gold, if possible. That's the colour scheme in the Raja's suite.
Well, what about those scars where the wood's been snapped off?
Cover them up with a flounce round the edge. It'll only take a little extra material.
Row bottom? What's going on? Who's this?
Blimey, it's the governor. This is Miss Paola, sir, from the hotel.
I'm in charge of housekeeping. I was just saying this chaise longue will do nicely for the Raja when it's being tidied up. It shouldn't take you long.
You what? Look here, do you know who I am?
Yes, I know you're a very busy man. But this job is urgent. That's why I came to deal with it personally.
We'll see about that. I'm going to take this up with Mr. Orcombe.
No need for that, Colliphant. Yeah. I heard you had a problem, but I gather it's just been solved. Better get your men to work on that piece of furniture right away.
Yes, Mr. Orcombe. All right, Rowbottom, don't just stand there. Get on with it.
All right, go. And Miss Paola, you can come back to the hotel with me. I have a taxi waiting outside. Now then, before you started giving orders to Mr. Colliphant's staff, did you make any attempt to see him?
I was told he was too busy to be disturbed. So, as my business was urgent...
It wouldn't have hurt you to exercise a little patience and go through the proper channels.
No, sir. Except that there was no knowing how long it'd take going through the proper channels. As it is, the Raja will have his daybed in a few hours.
I appreciate that, but I would also appreciate a little tact in future. A little discretion.
Yes, sir. And what about Mr. Chiria? What are you going to do about him?
I was coming to that. As soon as you received that letter from Chiria, you should have taken it to Mr. Perosi, not tried to handle the matter by yourself.
But I persuaded Mr. Chiria to come back to work.
I gather you gave everyone the impression that if he did so, I would take no further action. Well, you were wrong about that.
Why? What are you going to do? You can't sack him now. That's not fair.
Miss Powler, just one moment.
Yesterday, I told you the whole truth because I wanted to be straight with you. And now you're taking advantage of it. I call that unfair. No, it's worse than unfair. It's downright shameful. When we get back to the hotel, I shall hand in my notice.
May I say something?
All right, it's your turn.
Look here, people like you and me can't behave like this. You can't give in your notice because I don't run the hotel the way you think I should. Forget all this nonsense. You may think quite differently tomorrow, and perhaps I will too.
Very well. I withdraw my notice.
Thank you.
But when you say you may think differently too, do you mean about Mr. Chiria?
I'm making no promises.
I see. Would you stop the cab, please, before we get to the front door? I use the staff entrance.
But Violet, when did all this happen?
Oh, ages ago. 3 months or more.
And all this time, you never said...
No, Mum, I didn't want to talk about it. But I had to stand up for myself, didn't I?
Oh, I don't know. How are things now?
Mr. Orcombe must have had second thoughts. He didn't sack Mr. Chiria. In fact, he's gone up in the world. He manages the restaurant now as well as the grill room.
I meant how are things between you and Mr. Orcombe.
All right, I suppose. I hardly see him. Ever since Miss McLaren decided to take early retirement, I've been kept so busy.
Still, it's a pity you and Mr. Orcombe fell out. You shouldn't have answered back the way you did.
I suppose not. Perhaps I ought to write him a little note.
Morning, Miss Powler. You're up early.
I always take a look at reception before the cleaners arrive. It'd be too late afterwards.
Very wise. Thank you for your letter. I appreciated it, though your apology wasn't necessary. Tell me, have you seen the display on our bookstall?
Oh, you mean Miss Savitt's book? Yes, I even bought a copy. I enjoyed it too.
I haven't read it myself. I'm told she and her husband are expecting their first baby.
Oh, that's nice.
And I have some more good news. The board are planning to hold a party to celebrate the success of our merger. All the department heads are invited, including you.
Oh, but I'm the only woman, aren't I?
Exactly. A rose among thorns, you might say.
You might. I wouldn't. No, it's very kind of you, but I couldn't. Not all by myself. Unless, couldn't you invite the senior secretaries, like Miss Cass?
Good idea. I'll suggest it. Oh, and before you go, one other thing. You know the place next door, that little Queen Anne house?
I know it's been standing empty ever since I started here. What about it?
The company are thinking of buying it. We need more office space. It could be the headquarters of Savitt International. I want you to come and look at it this afternoon. And bring a tape measure. How wide is that alcove between the windows?
8'6".
Good. That ought to take my desk. Oh, just look at that ceiling. Lovely, isn't it?
Yes. Except you'll be too busy to go craning your neck staring up at the ceiling.
But at least I'll know it's there. And that fireplace, absolutely beautiful.
It's too small to warm a room this size. I don't know how they managed in the old days. They must have been frozen in the winter.
We'll soon fix that. Central heating, or plenty of electric radiators.
You'll need the whole place rewiring. And that staircase is too narrow and twisty. People will break their necks.
Look, I know I asked for your opinion, but do you have to be quite so negative? Why not say right away you don't like the house and leave it at that?
But I do like the house. It's just... it seems all wrong to turn it into offices. If I were you, I'd build a new office and work somewhere else. This is a house for living in.
What? Me? Live here all by myself?
Well, no, perhaps not, but...
There you go again. But this, but that. Come here. But me, no buts.
Yes, but...
Stop arguing and listen. If I buy this house, will you come and live in it?
Will you marry me, Miss Paula?
Of course I will. You know very well I could never marry anyone else.
Couldn't you? How strange. Now I come to think about it, neither could I.
Ah, there you are, Orkham. And Miss Paula, I really must congratulate you.
What for?
Why, for organising the splendid party.
Oh.
Thank you, Sir Henry. But your glass is empty. A little more champagne?
Oh.
Miss Cass, may I have the pleasure of this dance?
Thank you, Mr. Perusi. I'd love to.
Miss Paula, will you please dance with me?
Why not? Thank you, Gino. Ah.
By the by, I wanted to have a word about this new office building. It's a capital idea, but we really must discuss it, so...
And so we shall, but not tonight.
Oh, no. I suppose this is hardly the moment. Anyway, you ought to be dancing. It's expected of you.
Oh, Lord. Must I?
Yes.
Who should I dance with?
The Paula girl, of course. She's the best dancer in the room. Go on, take the plunge.
Excuse me. May I cut in? How can I refuse? Thank you, Miss Paula.
Thank you. Do you really think you should?
Sir Henry suggested it.
Why? What's he been saying?
He wanted to talk about the new offices. He thinks it's an excellent scheme.
Did you tell him whose idea it was?
As far as he's concerned, it's mine. As far as we're concerned, it's all yours. And so am I.
When he congratulated us, I thought for a minute he must have found out.
How long are we going to keep our engagement a secret? When are we going to tell everybody?
Give me a chance to train someone to take over the housekeeping.
Shh! I refuse to talk shop tonight. Well, I think I've had enough of this party. How about you? Why don't we just slip away quietly on our own?
Oh, people are bound to talk. They'll guess something's going on.
Let's give them something to talk about. What do you think? Could you face it? Could I?
Together we can face anything. Come on, then. Let's go.
I stumbled over love. Oh, what a funny feeling.
In the final episode of Arnold Bennett's Imperial Palace, Evelyn Orkham was played by Robin Ellis and Violet Paula by Charlotte Attenborough. Gracie Savart, Colleen Prendergast, Sir Henry Savart, Derek Waring, Miss Cass, Anne Beach, Mr. Perosi, Michael Mears, Mr. Plimsing, Stephen Thorne, Gino Cheria, Christopher Scott, Mrs. Paula, Di Botcher, Mr. Rowbottom, Kim Wall. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Imperial Palace was dramatized for radio by Peter Ling, and directed by Enid Williams.